Yeah, and I think what sometimes back to the forcing or the influencing those to speak in tongues when they're young.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then there are those that also will say you need to also be praying for the healing. And if you don't, mm-hmm. why should you expect it? Right. Or if you do pray for it insincerely, but if it does not happen,
right.
then either you're to blame potentially for unconfessed sin or a lack of faith or trust, or worse than that, that somehow you're blaming God as not being capable or desiring to do that.
See, I saw all those things when I was a youngster in the Pentecostal movement. And again, this becomes too autobiographical, and I'm sort of sorry about it. But
oh, I'm fascinated by it, and I only want you to talk about what you're comfortable talking about.
You know, I think it's autobiographical, but I'm not alone. Hmm. You know, there are, I'd say, countless others who went through the same experience. And again, it seemed to me so often when people weren't healed, then the recourse would be, well, there's sin in my life, okay, mm-hmm. that I haven't repented of. And so, okay, so that has to be taken care of. Or it's God's fault, or I didn't have enough faith. I mean, there are all kinds of explanations. And what it was all too rare was a willingness to say, God is sovereign, and I'm not going to try to govern how God will mm-hmm. deal with humanity.
Well, I think about the Apostle Paul, whatever the thorn was,
yeah.
that he fervently prayed for three times for God to remove, and all three yeah. times God said no.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. the ending is, my grace is sufficient
yeah. Yeah.
for you. And then, you know, I've heard others say that we're all wounded people. Some are wounded. Some are self-inflicted wounds.
Right.
But without our wounds, where would our power be?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that yeah. it keeps us humble. It keeps us prayerful and yeah, right. dependent on God. You know, I have a toothache right now. I can complain about it, or
yeah,
I can,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or I can yeah. go see the dentist, which I will tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. But you can get real old like me and have dentures, and then you
yeah.
never will have
yeah, yeah, yeah.
a problem, never. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I actually have a longtime friend
yeah.
who would say to me, by his wounds, mm-hmm. you're healed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to allow that pain to affect you. In fact, you can pray it away.
Yeah.
You don't have enough faith, potentially, Todd, or you're not praying hard enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gets into the whole prosperity gospel of this health and wealth gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because
okay.
I'm clearly going to go to the dentist. But
take money. When you do, take lots and lots of money. But once you
like
have
give
dentures,
you enough money, can you fix my tooth?
Yeah, but once you have dentures, I mean, you're free.
All right.
You know, my former student and colleague, Kate Bowler, I think has done wonderful work in making clear that we cannot manipulate God.
Mm.
And things happen, and they happen within God's sovereign judgment.
Mm.
And we live within that faith.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that faith that we accept that. And if that were only more broadly understood, I think we'd be a much stronger
church. Well, and I think on one hand, God knows everything we need, everything we encounter,
mm-hmm.
or experience in
mm-hmm.
good and bad and painful,
mm-hmm.
and loves us and wants to help us and care. So on one mm-hmm. hand, I can ask God for anything, but at the other, I have to be realistic to know that the way in which God might remedy this ailment or this problem might come through other people.
Because
mm-hmm. if everyone's made in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
and God does use people to bring about healing in a sense,
mm-hmm.
and I mean doctors,
sure.
But then there are those, you know, there are those like Oral Roberts,
mm-hmm.
Or Benny Hinn in modern times, where people will show up at a tent meeting, a crusade, a fill an arena.
Or Catherine Kuhlman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they're going there in the anticipation of being healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been fascinated by this because it seems like potentially because of the faith. Naivety, whatever you want to call it, of the person. There are people in the, you know, say 10,000 people in arena that you and I both know that there may be actually some true healings that occur.
Sure.
And yet there are many that are probably fabricated,
mm-hmm.
Or they just don't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit.
I go back to Kate, and there's a line in her book. Well, she's written several, so I'm not sure which book it is mm-hmm. now. But in line that has meant a lot to me, and she said, Christians are people who worship the baby who was born to die.
Mm-hmm.
And you unpack that,
mm-hmm.
that We are a people who worships God. We worship God incarnate in Jesus Christ. But at the same time, that baby died.
Mm-hmm.
And was born to die.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the reality of sin and finitude. And, you know, and this is what it's too easy to lose sight of.
So you're saying God in Christ being fully God, fully man, the God-man, born to die.
He was born to die.
And that was inherent because of taking on the flesh, which means he was also fully, could truly be tempted. But then he dies, and then the whole crux of Christianity, 1 Corinthians 15, it's about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows Christ by not just dying, but by rising again,
mm-hmm.
that he's more powerful than death and sin and disease and all these things, the toothaches, that plague us. And so therefore, as Christians, then you're saying that would be our hope too, is that we know
Absolutely.
We're dying, we know we're deteriorating. And
that's the next paragraph. I mean, actually,
yeah.
the line that I just quoted from Kate is at the end of a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that if you were sitting here, she said, yeah, that's the beginning of the next chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely, that's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we lose sight of in the particular conversation about the healing is that we die, we suffer,
mm-hmm.
and we all do. And that's just part of our lives and the cross we bear as being humans. And there are healings that take place. I mean, you know, Lazarus was raised from the dead, mm-hmm. but he did die again.
Right.
I mean,
as did those raised with Christ at the resurrection.
Yeah.
They died again too.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they, you know, Lazarus did die.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, there was a delayed in all this. Yeah.
Mm.
I think Pentecostalism has done an enormous amount of good. And only look in the U.S. I mean, the world's seen as a whole much bigger story. I mean, I'm going to try to teach a course on world Christianity in my church in the fall. So mm-hmm. I've been looking around, and probably about 1.2 billion Catholics in this world, but maybe 600 million Pentecostal Charismatics, and the second largest Christian movement on the planet.
600 million in the world today.
Yeah,
that's, Pentecostal.
That's. You know, you can't nail that down with precision, but religious demographers are moving in that direction. 600 million, more than a half a billion people are charismatic Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has to be a reason. These things just don't happen by accident,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a movement to have grown this fast around the world and touched this many people,
mm-hmm.
Obviously it has done them a huge amount of good. It's done the church a lot of good,
mm-hmm.
and I'm one of the ultimately I think American Pentecostals did some things that harm people, including me, but at the same time the global movement has done a vast amount of good,
mm-hmm.
For Christianity.
Mm-hmm.